Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Hello to everybody that's watching this. Could be morning, could be afternoon, could be evening, could be middle of the night, I don't know. I'm doing a video here from my office in conjunction with our series on the gift of righteousness. So this last Sunday, which would have been, I believe, May the 26th, depending on when you're watching this, but we talked about a subject in part three in this series concerning spirit, soul, and body. And I just wanted to get on here and record another video teaching concerning spirit, soul, and body, just because of the time constraints that sometimes we experience on a Sunday morning. And so I wanted to do a little bit more teaching, take a little bit more time with the scriptures that I do have explaining the importance of this subject. Obviously, right now we're talking about, we're in a series called The Gift of Righteousness. And righteousness is a wonderful subject in the scripture that every believer needs to understand. They need to have this understanding of their position in Christ Jesus with the Father established in their life if they're going to live a successful Christian life. And I'm excited about this subject, as you know, because if we take it and we apply it and we put it into our lives, it will really strengthen our effectiveness for the kingdom and strengthen the effectiveness of God's power in our own personal lives, because we'll realize that God is not dealing with us based on our performance, but rather based on the performance of Jesus Christ. So I just want to read a couple of things here for you, to you. I got my notes here with me, and so if I look down, it's just because I'm reading those notes. But just want to review just a couple of things. First of all, the definition of righteousness. Righteousness is the state of being right or justified. This is the ability to stand in the presence of the Father without the sense of guilt or inferiority. And you need to understand that. You need to understand that you can stand in God's presence because of what Christ did without a sense of guilt or inferiority. To go a little further into that definition, it says it is right standing with God. It is uprightness or being justified. Justified means to render innocent. It means to declare guiltless. And it means to pronounce acceptable. So righteousness is perfect unity with God through Christ Jesus, not through our works, not through our own ability, not through striving that we try to do in order to earn God's favor. But God's favor is extended to us through mercy. Grace is extended to us, which is favor and empowerment to live the way we should. But it's extended to us through mercy, which means it's not extended to us by the works that we perform. So we need to understand that at all times, God is sitting on ready to provide forgiveness for sins if we need that, strength for anything that we're going through, healing. All the promises of God are sitting, and God is ready to give those things to us because of the righteousness that we have in Christ Jesus. And oftentimes, this idea of guiltless and all of that and being acceptable and innocent offends the religious, the legalistic mind, because many times those who are have an understanding of their salvation through works in order to be right in front of God, they often put heavy emphasis on their performance, and that determines God's favorability toward them. But in reality, the Father showed us that His favorability toward us was in Christ Jesus, that we were saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. And it is the gift of righteousness, as we saw in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, and Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through, I think, 22, talks about how righteousness is by faith. So believers who do not understand biblical righteousness will think the believer who does is making light of sin, and that's not the case. Righteousness consciousness will produce more holiness in the life of the believer than sin consciousness. Being righteous means that we are in a place where the claims of God were the laws of God, which is the law. Those are the things where God showed to us that we were in sin against him or contrary to him. We had broken his law and we were guilty of judgment. But being righteous means that we are in a place where the claims of God have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In order to understand and live in the new covenant of righteousness, a believer must be, this is a must, you must understand this, and this is where we'll get into spirit, soul, body now, you must be Holy Spirit inside minded. You must be Holy Spirit inside minded. So let's look at this, and I'm going to talk through these passages of Scripture. The one message from Sunday that we are going to post to the website and to YouTube was the second service from this last Sunday, because we were able to get into more of the notes. But I just want to go through these again and just give you the opportunity to jot down these scriptures, to meditate and think about them yourself. And again, like I said earlier, just give you a little bit more teaching along these lines in a setting like this. So 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So what do we see here? We see Paul addressing this church, and he's saying to them at Thessalonica, "May your whole spirit, soul, and body." So what do we see here? We see a breakdown of the three-part nature that we are, all right? We are a three-part nature. In other words, we have three parts to our being. All right, so let's break this down. The spirit is the part of us that's in contact with God. That's our true self. That's our spirit, okay? The spirit in this particular verse is the dimension of man which deals with the spiritual realm. This is the dimension of man, or the part of man, which deals with the spiritual realm. It is the part of man that knows God. It is the part of man that knows, God, okay? So the spirit part of you is the part of you that knows God. Now, the scripture says this. It says in the scripture that God is spirit, okay? So when God speaks to us, he speaks to our spirit. Now, our soul or our mind may pick up on that, but he speaks to our spirit first, because we are spirit and he is spirit, and we can fellowship with one another because we're made spirits in his image and in his likeness. Okay? So you are a spirit. Now, all of the promises of God have been established in Christ and were settled in you and me when we were born again. So every blessing of God, all the sanctification, the righteousness, the redemption, the purity, the holiness, the fruit of the Spirit, all of these, the major changes in our life when we were born again, they all took place first and foremost in the Spirit. They didn't take place in the mind, and they didn't take place in the body. The Bible clearly teaches us in the New Testament that when we were born again, our spirits were completely changed. We went from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And so that's the part of us that's in contact with God. That's the part of you, really you personally, it is you, that responded to the Holy Spirit when you were born again. And you said, "Yes, I'm going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as my Lord and Savior." Your spirit was born again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man, and that means man or woman, it just means mankind, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Everything old is passed away and all things have become new, and all things are of God. Well, where was that at? That was all in the spirit, because after you were born again, you still had to deal with the same thoughts you had before. After you were born again, you still had a body like you did before. Now, I would have loved it if all of it would have changed at once, but that's not where we're at in the dispensation. We're in a place right now where our spirits can be changed instantly, and then through walking in faith and obedience to the Lord, our minds are transformed, and over time, through the process of the return of Christ, our bodies will be transformed into a brand new body. And I'm looking forward to that day, and I know you are too. So what's the second part? Paul says here, may your whole spirit, soul, and then body. So soul is the second part or dimension of a person, of you or of me. The soul is the dimension of man or the part of man which deals with the mental realm, man's intellect, the sensibilities and will, the part of man that reasons and thinks. It is the mind, the will, and the emotions. It is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Lastly, we have the body. And I think pretty much everybody knows what the mind, for the most part. Some people confuse soul and spirit, but pretty much everybody knows what the body is, all right? The body is the part of man, you and me, which deals with the physical realm. It is the house in which we live. Okay? So this is the part of man that deals with the physical realm. So it's the physical body. It's the physical body. Okay? Now, as a believer, okay, as a Christian, we have a spirit. We possess a soul, or we have a soul. We have mind, will, and emotions. And then we have a body. And the body is the house that the soul and the spirit live in, that the spirit live in. Now, I'm going to turn around here for just a second, or lean over here for just a second, and I'm going to grab something out of my bag that I meant to use as an illustration in the church services, but I just never got around to it. So hang with me for just a second here. Okay. All right. So I have an illustration here to help you understand this. All right. Here I have just a regular work glove from my house. Okay. This is just a glove that I use for doing construction, different things around the house. All right. Now this glove in and of, or by itself, I'll try and do a better job here with the camera. It doesn't have any life in it. It can't do anything. All right. And this is like our body. This is just like our body. Sorry, some dirt just fell out of it. That was kind of funny. Okay, so this is just like our body, all right? Our body without our spirit, and we'll see this later in some scriptures, has no life in it. Now, I want you to see something. I'm going to go ahead and grab this glove with my other hand, and then I'm going to put my hand inside of the glove. Now, what do we have? We have life inside the glove. The glove now can perform, it can move, it can grab things, it can do work. Now, if I pull my hand out, the glove, we could say, is lifeless. But if I put my hand back in the glove, the glove then has life. It can, you know, touch the microphone here, it can move and grab, I can turn it forward or backward, it doesn't matter. It now has a life. It can move. It can look like it's alive. Well, this is just like our physical body. This glove has life in it because my hand's in it. Your body has life in it because you're in it. You are inside your body, your spirit, and then your soul. The soul and the spirit function through the brain and the body. That's how it operates. And so that, in essence, I hope that helps you understand that a little bit more, but that, in essence, is spirit, soul, and body. So let's look at some scriptures that talk about it. First of all, we'll look at some scriptures that talk about body and spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 6, in the Amplified Bible says this, "So then we are always full of good and hopeful and confident courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, We are abroad from the home with the Lord that is promised us later on. So what do we see here? Paul says this by the Holy Spirit. He says, when we're here on earth, we're at home in the body. Who's at home in the body? You and I are. Who are we? We are spirits, and we possess souls, and we live inside these bodies. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, again, same chapter, verse number 8. So skip down a couple of verses. Paul says this, and this is the Amplified translation again. It says, yes, we have confident and hopeful courage, and are pleased rather to be away from home, out of the body, and be at home with the Lord. Paul was talking about what happens at when their body dies, when they leave this earth and they go on to be with the Lord. They're no longer at home in the body. They're out of the body. They leave their body and they go to be with the Lord. They leave their body and go to be with the Lord. Let me read another one to you. So that was 2 Corinthians 5, 6 and 5, 8. And those were in the Amplified translations. So you'll want to mark that down because it's important. The Amplified sometimes does exactly what it says. Well, always does. It amplifies, okay? Let's look at James chapter 2, verse 26. And this is in the Message, okay? But you could read this in the New King James, and you would see that it says pretty much the same thing. So I want you to see something here, James 2:26. This will really tie in with my glove illustration earlier, but it says this, James says this by the Holy Spirit, the very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse on your hand. Now in context, James is talking about faith without works is dead. But he uses the illustration of separating the spirit from the body. Notice it says the very moment you separate spirit from the body, he says you have a corpse on your hand. Now this is the Message. So you have a dead body on your hands, so to speak. This is the Message translation, or I should say paraphrase. But what do you have? You have a corpse. Why? Because the spirit left the body. All right? You are a spirit, and you have a soul, and you live in a body. Okay, Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through 24. It says this, Paul said this, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Remember, death is gain. It's not loss for us, it's gain. Verse 22, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Do you see it there? He said, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And then he says this, and this is a thought that most church people can't even wrap their heads around. But he goes on to say this. He says, yet what shall I choose? I do not know. Verse 23, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ. Well, if you go back to verse 22, he says, if I'm to go on living in the body, it will mean fruitful labor. And then later he says, but if I depart, here in verse 23, he says, I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, which means if he's departing, where is he departing from? He's departing from the earth, and specifically, he's departing from his body. Okay, now verse 24, he says this, but it is more necessary that I remain in the body. Who remains in the body? Paul does. Notice Paul does not call himself a body. Now, to give you a little more clarity on this, that was the New International Version translation on that. But you can still see it in the New King James. You can see it in the King James. It means, the idea here is that there's a, you should be seeing a separation between spirit and body, all right? Between spirit and body. So Paul refers to himself as someone that is separate in verse 22 and verse 24. He refers to himself as someone separate from his body. His body is not him. It is the tent or the house that he lives in. In the same way, your body is not you. It is the tent that you live in. All right, let me show you again. Let's bring the glove back. All right. As long as my hand is not in this glove, there's no life in the glove. Okay. It can't hold itself up, as you can see. It's not gonna reach out and grab the camera. It can't. But the moment I put my hand in the glove, it now has the ability to function. And that's the same way it is with our spirit within our body. We are a spirit first. We possess a soul and we live in a body. Okay, so let's look at some scriptures that separate the spirit and the soul. Let's look at some scriptures that separate the spirit and the soul. So we're talking spirit. Remember 1 Thessalonians 5:23, okay, where we were looking at that earlier, that Paul said in the last half, may your whole spirit, soul, and body, all right? So we just separated spirit and body. Now let's look at some scriptures that separate spirit and soul, or the mind. Excuse me, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this. So spirit and soul, you could write that in your notes, spirit, soul, and then put Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Paul says this. Now, some people don't, they don't know who, they claim they don't know who wrote Hebrews, and actually we don't know for sure, but I believe it was Paul based on the evidence, so that's what I'm going to go with. But anyway, the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, says this, Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper, notice it's the word of God that's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, you have to tell by the context of whatever you're reading, whether the statement heart is referring to spirit or soul, or it could be referring to both. But what we see here is that there is a division between the soul and the spirit. And the most effective way to deal with that division is to know the Word of God. In fact, it's the only way to separate our soul and our spirit and really hear or get clarity in hearing concerning the Holy Spirit when He speaks to us. Now, I've made this statement several times over the last few months, and the Holy Spirit just keeps speaking it to me, so I'm going to keep speaking it. It's something that I keep seeing as a pastor to the church, to our church. And it's something that I've seen just through the years in my own life and then in those, sometimes in situations inside the church with different ones. A lot of times, spirit-filled believers call the Holy Spirit, or they think the Holy Spirit is dealing with them, and actually they're functioning out of their soul and not out of their spirit. Okay? And that's something that we just, it's not a sin, okay? I mean, you may miss the mark if you follow your soul over your spirit, but it's something that we have to continue to grow in and believe God that He's going to continue to show us the difference between the soul and the spirit. The longer we walk with the Lord, the longer we study His word, it is the sharp two-edged sword that is able to pierce and separate between the soul and the spirit. And notice here in the last part of verse 12, it says, and of joints and of marrow. How close are our joints and our marrow? They're very close to each other. I believe there are other translations that state this, but it would be like even bone and marrow, or muscle and tendon. It's so close. They're so close together that you almost can't touch one without the other. But if you're very careful and you have a very sharp scalpel, a sword, a very sharp sword, you can separate bone and marrow. You can separate joint and ligament, or joint and marrow. Joints and marrow. You can separate them. they're close together. I mean, if you're not careful, you know, it's like the game. Remember that game, Operation? I think it's still around. We had it with our kids when they were little. But you have this person laying, and you're doing operation. You got to take these little tweezers and pull out these different things without touching anything around it, or that buzzer goes off and you lose. You lose your turn and it goes to the next person. Well, sometimes it's like that with the soul and the spirit. They can be so very close together that if you're not careful, you can accidentally touch the soul when you were meaning to get to the spirit. And so that's where the written word of God helps us develop to the point where our very senses can discern both good and evil. In other words, we can discern quickly between the two. And there's no fast way to do that. You know, sometimes people think, lay hands on me, it'll happen. No, you have to study, you have to be in the word, and you have to spend time in prayer in your known language, and then prayer in the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues will help you hone your inside ear, the ear of your heart, to the Holy Spirit and what He's saying. For leadings of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to say this. So hear this. For leadings of the Holy Spirit, don't look for feelings. Look for knowings. Look for a convincing on the inside of you. Don't look for feeling in your emotion or on your flesh, but look to the spirit inside of you and look for peace and knowing there. Don't look anywhere else. So this verse, Hebrews 4:12, really shows us a good separation of spirit and soul. Let's look at another one, Revelation chapter 2, verse 23. And here we'll see that word hearts used. Sometimes when the Bible uses the word heart, it's just talking about your center, and it could mean spirit and soul, but you need to read the verses around that word heart to be able to discern what it is that the Bible's talking about, because there's really no way to study this out because of the way it was translated from the Greek to be able to just see it every single time exact. But Revelation 2:23, you can write that down. This is the New King James Version. Hebrews 4:12 is the New King James Version as well. It says this, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am He who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. So there's some judgment that's going on here, obviously, that's taking place, and that judgment is taking place, and the Lord is like, I'm gonna discern between, or I'm gonna search the mind and heart. In other words, soul and spirit, okay? Motivations and thoughts, soul and spirit. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. He searches the what? The heart. And He tests the mind. So here we have heart as spirit and mind as soul. He said, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. In other words, the Lord will give you the harvest that you plant. Okay? If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap from the flesh destruction. If you sow to the spirit, you'll reap from the spirit eternal life if you're born again. All right? So I hope this helps you. I just wanted to go through that one more time and give you those scriptures verse by verse and spend a little more time on it so that you would have an understanding of spirit, soul, and body. Now, if you'll take time to study these scriptures and really look at them and take time to meditate on them, and what I mean by that is just take time to read over them, to as the word meditate means mutter. It means to kind of talk over and over again, really think and turn it over inside yourself and analyze what you're hearing from the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will go to work in transforming the way that you think. There'll be a transformation of thinking, a metamorphosis that takes place, and it will help you delineate between spirit, soul, and body in your own life. It'll make you more effective. And understanding this, which is the main point of this video, will help you to understand righteousness on a level that you've never understood it before. It'll make you more effective as a believer and as a disciple. So I hope this helped you. I'm going to pray for you real quick, and then we'll be done. Father God, I just thank you so much for those that are watching. Lord, I pray, as I always do, Ephesians chapter 1, Father, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would operate in them, that they would have understanding, that you would open the eyes of their understanding so they would know and understand what took place in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and what happened when we received him into our lives. I ask you for this in faith, in conjunction with their faith, and I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.